from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning. By the way, correction, John. Because, you know, I've made, what, 3 or 4 mistakes in my life when I said the wrong thing. Only 3 or 4, I think. I made a mistake on Friday. So Friday, you may remember I said entering the weekend that that was one of our last 2 summer weekends. It was 3. I had us a whole week up.
Oh.
So we still have the one coming up, and then after that we have Labor Day. Yes.
That's a big difference.
So I'm sure a lot of people in the moment
realized. Bother you all weekend?
It bothered me a little bit. I don't like making mistakes. The good thing, though, is I got such limited history with it. It's not that often I need to, you know, put that correction out there. But a correction has been issued. All right. So we're going to get to an interesting story in the Philadelphia Inquirer about John Middleton. We'll hit that shortly. I also, John, I don't want to lose sight of, with all the talk about things that went well, and there was a lot of good stuff, and then the biggest thing that annoyed most of us, which was the end, the 9th inning yesterday, and Rob Thompson not using JT and Bryce. I don't want to lose sight of the Taijuan Walker thing.
That now, today was destined to, right. for really, failure.
Yeah, I mean,
as soon as we knew that he was taking the mound,
you know, you're going to need to score 5 or 6 runs if Taijuan starts. You're just going to have to. And I ask this question, John: how much longer?
I don't know. I'm asking that all day. Like, right? Is this bad enough that we don't have to see this anymore?
So Rangers should be back soon. Yeah, Rangers should be back soon.
99 pitches.
Oh, it's disastrous.
He couldn't throw a strike at times. It was nonchalant. It was not.
It's just not good. It's not good. There's no part of it that looks near good.
Right.
So Ranger, I guess, sometime soon. Turnbull, you know, it doesn't seem like he's too soon. So I need door number 5. I need someone else to come through door number 5. Wow. I need somebody else.
We know Christopher Sanchez is in a great place.
Is it Turnbull that dude they got the other day? Justin,
back.
Who's that guy they got the other day?
Tyler Gilbert is his name. He was bounced around on a couple teams, but most notably, he made his first start for the Diamondbacks a couple years ago and threw a no-hitter in his first start, but since has bounced around a little bit and now is with the Iron Pigs, but has just been called up. So with Tyler Phillips being sent down.
Let me just threw a no-hitter
in his first start.
That's yes. Amazing.
Yeah, very few. I remember someone else did that like 30 years ago, I think. Let me just tell you where I am on Taijuan Walker, this is not an overstatement. I mean it. I'd rather have Vince Velasquez.
Ooh, I mean, I don't know,
John. Listen,
I don't know about this. Wow.
This guy, man,
they feel kind of similar. I mean,
similar,
it's just
but
like nondescript pitching. Just
it's bad,
nothing.
Man. It's got to end soon. And again, the Dodgers and the Brewers are on the Phillies. Dodgers a 1/2 game back. Brewers 1 game back. Rhys Hoskins Brewers. One game back. Mm. Only two teams get a bye. You know, we don't usually use that term in baseball, a bye, but yeah, that's what it is. You get a bye. You get to get right to the second round. You get to avoid a best of three, which we know the Phillies have won 2 years in a row, but trust me, people. Trust me. The first time the Phillies lose one of them, the entire town will forever look at it differently. Don't just assume because the Phillies won two of them in a row, 1 year against the Marlins, 1 year against...
The Cardinals.
Good
also,
job.
They're playing the Atlanta Braves as of right now, if they were the three seed. So, you know, they would, I think, relish the opportunity to get that again against the Phils.
And you know what would be fascinating? I'd have to look at how the calendar breaks out. But let's just say you had a chance to not get the bye and Zach Wheeler pitches the Sunday to end the season. So it's like, all right, let's pitch Wheeler to not have the bye.
Wow.
But then would you not get him game one on like a Tuesday? I mean, clearly, if he pitches on a Sunday, he ain't going to pitch on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Might not be able to pitch on a Wednesday.
That's why kind of winning these games
yes!
are kind of important.
That's why Bryce Harper, grab a bat. I'm not ripping
Hold
you,
on.
Bryce. I'm ripping Rob Thompson. Go ahead, Bryce. Grab a freaking bat.
So it occurred to me,
what?
The possibility. We know how important it is that guys prepare. We know that Bryce being a baseball head helps his cause because he gets into the film room. He's studying hard every pitcher he's facing.
Yeah, it's part of what makes him great.
What about and again, I'm just thinking, how on earth could Rob Thompson think this was okay? Rob Thompson, who says to Bryce prior to the game, you and JT, take the day off, get away, get your brain away from baseball. He possibly didn't prepare the way he normally would
then
prepare
Rob Thompson,
for the pitches.
Then don't say that to him.
Pitchers?
Look,
I don't know.
That's a maybe.
It's just a possibility considering.
It's a possibility. I would be disappointed
Bryce
in
Harper.
Bryce if that's the case, and I think that's unlikely.
Why would you be disappointed in Bryce? His coach told him, you can take
because
the day
in
off, get away from baseball. Don't think about baseball.
Look, in that scenario, if that happened.
I don't know.
No, I know you don't. If that happened, I would need Bryce to say, appreciate it, Skip. I'll stay mentally prepared. Do you want
okay,
me
well, maybe you need to take a day for a break because the season is 162 games, and we hear how arduous that can
look,
be. And Topper knows and understands how important that
it's
is.
It's one at-bat.
And you got the day off today. And I know that by the time I was 30, it took a lot more for me to get going.
I know.
Stretching-wise and lubed up and just preparation-wise.
But football and baseball, very different.
All right,
let's get a lot of calls in here. Let's go to Matt right now. Matt, what do you make all this?
You know, I kind of feel earlier... Sorry about that. Listen, I got a new rule for Rob Thompson.
Hold on, let's start this
that?
Over.
What
let's go to
Matt?
Matt. Matt, you're on WIP.
Okay, sorry, guys. I've got a new rule for Rob Thompson. If he's going to sit his guys, it's the Steph Curry, LeBron rule. They need to sit in street clothes with sunglasses, so we all know there's absolutely no chance they're ever going into the game. Because if we all know before the game they're not going in, then let's load manage.
Yeah, well, I get your theory, and maybe you're being a little tongue in cheek. I think you know you can't really do that in baseball from this standpoint. That would be like putting a guy on the injured list and then he's out, whatever it is, 8 games, 10 games. So you can't have someone else just replace him for one game. So, yeah, if you want to shorten your bench, you could do that, but they shouldn't do that.
No, but what I'm saying is, Joe, that they could go put on their uniform. They've got 9 innings to be told to go warm up. But, hey, let's make them sit there and say, Rob, these are vets, and we're going to listen, also, I have to agree with the Stubbs thing. You know, the Stubbs, I'm not a Stubbs hater. Everybody gets offended if you say anything bad about Stubbs. Let's be honest. His vibe got us in hot tub water last year, where the Diamondbacks came out after the series and said, we didn't enjoy your backup catcher talking about how he's going to sit in the hot tub in the outfield.
Yep. Yep.
And Marchand's a better player.
The shame of it was, I've heard from a lot of people that Stubbs thought he was off the record. So it's a shame that that got out when he didn't think it should. But I agree with you. Even in a jokey joke way, I wouldn't want him to put that out even internally to the team. But, you know, it is a little different if the player thought he was off the record. Look, he's just not that good a player right now. And I think Marchand's better, and I think it's time for the Phillies to start prioritizing better players. Matt, give me an answer. A mystifying decision.
All right, this is more in your wheelhouse, Joe, for what I think you're looking for. Why did Julia Roberts marry Lyle Lovett?
Wow. That's really good.
Yeah,
that was a stunner.
That was a stunner.
When that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. There have been a couple through the years, and that was an all-timer. She was also engaged to that guy from Sleeping with the Enemy. What was that guy's name? Or maybe not engaged.
Kiefer Sutherland, wasn't it?
She was with him also, but I'm thinking of that other guy, the black hair guy, brown hair.
No.
Sleeping with the Enemy, whatever that guy's name was.
Not the older
Jason
guy.
Jason Patrick. Yeah, she was with Jason Patrick there. Yep. Right in like the wheelhouse.
No, she was not.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
100%. Yeah. John, you got to understand, there's very little about Julia Roberts that gets past me.
Oh, why? Do you had an unhealthy fixation?
You call it unhealthy. I call it healthy. I call it normal. I say that's Julia. By the way, you look back on it to this day, and I know 1990, and listen, inflation's an issue in society these days, and things have certainly changed since 1990. But, John, has it ever struck you as highly bizarre that someone as rich as Richard Gere, who I think, and I'm talking the act, I'm talking the character in Pretty Woman, who I think it's fair to say has probably, based on the way he's portrayed, at least $500 million, if not $1 billion. I mean, Richard Gere.
$500 million? I don't know.
Richard
that.
Gere in that movie. Like, owns the world, and yet it's only $3,000 for Julia Roberts for a week?
Mm. Wow.
$3,000?
I never considered those details,
light.
The minutiae.
Yeah, as hookers with a heart of gold go, she's got to go to economic school and learn her value. Let's go to the phones. Sorry. Let's go to George and Delco. Even George and Delco knows $3,000 is light. Hello, George.
Hey, guys. What's going on this morning?
What's up, buddy?
Lots.
So I'm just at a loss for words. Like, I'm listening to Silver a few calls ago. You're telling me you want Garrett Stubbs, who's hitting 193, and Cal Stevenson, who's hitting 200 to bat, over JT Realmuto and Bryce Harper?
Well, it wasn't Casty. I mean, it was Stubbs and Stevenson.
No, yeah, Stubbs and Stevenson.
Yeah.
Dude, my question is just, you know, I have faith in my players. Do you have faith in Rob Thompson to get it done? Not the players, Rob Thompson.
Well, that's the thing, George. And the crazy thing about it is he has pushed so many good buttons for now two years and 2 months, right? That's what he's been running this, you know, almost 3 months now. 2 years and 3 months he's been running the show, and he's done so much right.
And so that does earn him some credit in your mind.
But it's got
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
An Andy Reid-like thing. It's like, how can you be so good at so much and then so bad at a couple things? I mean, Andy Reid couldn't get the plays in on time. He wouldn't run the ball. And he put zero value on wide receivers. And I'm not the guy saying, let's go have the $25 million wide receiver 15 years ago. I mean, my eyes have been open with AJ and Devontae and the way the NFL is now. But, I mean, Andy Reid's idea was, let's go get a couple guys off the street and have them be Donovan's receivers. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I just, you know, these past 2 years, I mean, especially after last Eagles season, I can't.
Well, that's the thing, George, that's the thing. Last year, we saw an all-time bad situation with coaching when the Eagles offense had met resistance and Sirianni didn't change it. Like, don't. And again, I said it earlier today, and I'll say it again.
And he didn't know how to change it. He told us, if I knew how to fix it, I would.
Yeah, I don't remember that exact line. It could be.
It's very similar to that.
You guys could be right. I mean, I'm not. I just view it like this. Some of these coaches view things like, I do what I do because that's what I do. Period. Like, that's the mantra. I do what I do because that's what I do. And my point is, don't be so stuck in your ways. And listen, I'll say this to Rob Thompson's defense, at least. This is unconventional. I mean, he's not stuck in a way that's, like, normal. But I just think it's dumb, George. All right, George, give me a great answer. What was a mystifying decision?
All right, so I don't know if this was said yet, but I'm going back to 2015 when Pete Carroll decided to throw the ball instead of use beast mode and run on the 1 yard line to win the Super Bowl.
So, you know, it's funny. Again, I'm going to have a lot of pushback on a lot of these. So here's the problem with that answer. And yes, it was obviously not the right decision, the whole deal. In order, a lot of people forget this. I don't. I knew it in the moment. I've always remembered it. In order for Seattle to run four plays, they had to pass on either second or third down. They had one timeout, but not two. So, look, you can make the case they should have ran it on second down, and I get it, okay? And Marshawn probably scores a touchdown. But if they ran it on second down and called timeout, they would have had to pass the ball on third down, or it would have been the last play.
The best part about
that. A lot of people forget that.
I'm watching that game with my brother, and my brother's not a big sports fan, so he goes, all right, what are the choices here for this play?
Yep.
So I gave him, you could do this, and you know, they run and happen. He goes, you didn't offer that up as one.
Yeah, no, that was not on the bingo card.
It was not exactly.
That was not.
I was stunned.
Listen, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago in a really rough way. Yeah. At least, John, they didn't lose like that. Well, 1 yard line interception to a cornerback who no one heard of. No one had ever heard of Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, it's true. That's the worst.
You know what Belichick did?
Now everyone knows him.
You know what he did? He had a cornerback there when a lot of times defenses have a safety. And I read a book that said it was the first time he had prepared that in the training camp. It was the first time the entire year a team had the ball on the 1 yard line with, I think it was, three wide receivers. And it was the first time all year Belichick deployed what he had come up with in the offseason, which was, I'm going to go with a corner there for better coverage than a safety for better run defense. And it worked. I mean, Malcolm Butler undercut that pass, and there you go. Mm-hmm. But at least there was a justification, which was they had to pass on second or third down to get four plays off.
Those people never forgave that offense. What was it, Blevin?
Well, it was Daryl Bevel.
Bevel.
And he's the one that called the play. And I got to give Pete Carroll credit for this. He fell on the sword, and that was Daryl Bevel's fault. And the only way Pete Carroll could have changed it, because I've looked into this, the only way he could have changed it, I mean, you could audible, but he'd put a formation out there. He put players out there. Pete Carroll would have had to burn a timeout, and he didn't want to do that. So, you know. All right, let's go to Matt in Hatboro. Matt,
if you're going to burn a timeout, now that's where you do it.
No, I know, but then you definitely only get two plays instead of three. So, and that requires then you pass, or the clock's going to run out. Mm-hmm. So, you know. All right, Matt in Hatboro. Matt, what's going on, man?
Good morning, guys and girls. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Wow. Thanks, Matt.
Welcome aboard. Hold on. You get Jalix Hunt treatment. Here we go.
What's up, Big Pippin?
What's up, Big Pippin?
Am I the only one thinking that Topper might not have the mental capacity to make decisions quickly on his feet?
No, because I think it's predetermined.
I'm not worried about that.
Well, maybe. I see what you're saying. I mean, I just think he determines it beforehand, and he just said, here's... He thought it's the right thing for them to win the World Series. I think he's wrong.
Well, he's looking forward to the next games coming up against the Braves, but we're in a part of the season that every game matters. This isn't, you know,
totally.
April, it's August at this point.
Listen, to me, Matt, I'm just telling you from my vantage point, they're in a dogfight for seeding. I know there's a form of comfortability when you're seven games up. I respect it. I get it. I don't, like, every day when I check in the morning, if I don't know the outcome by the end of the night before going to bed, I'm gunning for the Dodgers and Brewers result before the Braves result. The Braves are seven back. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers are a half a game back. The Brewers are one game back. I mean, guys, we're talking about a bye. That's massive. We know they're going to make the playoffs any which way. Even if the Braves catch the Phillies are making the playoffs. They're not going down to be in the four spot in the wild card. They're like 10 or 11 games up on that. They're not losing that. But they might lose a bye. All right. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, just like you said earlier, it's not the first time it's happened. It happened again a few weeks ago. Same thing with Stubbs.
Totally the same thing.
JT on the bench.
Totally.
And... you know, why can't you pinch hit for both of them? If Harper has to play an inning in the outfield, he's done it before, I don't think it would hurt. You know, play one inning, or do you want to play three games in the opener of the playoffs?
Or he plays first base and someone else plays the outfield. I mean, they're not going to put exactly. Bryce in the outfield. They're not going to do that, and that's fine. I mean, if you had to in a pinch, then whatever. But Bryce could play first. Someone else goes somewhere else. Figure it the hell out. It's not that hard. It's really not. Matt, give me a big-time answer, my man. Something mystifying a decision.
Well, I was going to go with what the last caller said with the Seattle Seahawks, but how about Team USA not putting Caitlin Clark on the women's basketball team for the Olympics?
So, you know, it's funny. Again, I'm going to have pushback on that. I mean, maybe she's not one of the top 12 players. I don't know.
I don't believe they could because she didn't play in a specific kind of, like, ramp-up tournaments.
Yeah.
There was some kind of rule
that I'd
heard.
She also, for what it's worth, when they determined that list back in the early part of the WNBA season,
wasn't playing great.
She wasn't playing nearly as well as she currently is. And, I mean, you think of it this way. Let's apply it to men's basketball, which obviously most of us are more familiar with. How many players in the history of the NBA that are a rookie are one of the 12 best players in the world in their first 2 months in the league? Jordan, yes. Shaq, yes.
I bet, was LeBron? No?
I would not say LeBron was one of the 12 best players in his first 2 months. Now, he was probably close to it, but my point
is... I don't know that Jordan was.
Jordan was really good really quick.
Wembanyama's getting close.
Who?
Wembanyama's getting close. Yeah. He was right up there for Defensive Player of the Year.
Look, man, I find that a stretch. You might be right close, but if you said to me in November of last year, because that's when the decision happened, first 2 months of the WNBA, here's our team. Was Wembanyama, whatever the hell his name is, top 12 in the league? I don't know. I didn't think so, but he's obviously going to be, he's going to be a great player. All right, we hope Jalen Carter, and we expect Jalen Carter to be a great player for a long time. Let's listen to Vic Fangio. John, I do like Fangio. You know, it's funny. Some coaches don't want to give the platitudes to young guys because they just don't go there. You know, they make them earn it kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can't quite tell if Vic Fangio is doing that with Jalen Carter here or if this is just a situation where he actually doesn't know a player that comes to mind comparable skill set-wise. Make of it what you will. It's a pretty short answer from Vic Fangio yesterday when asked this question about Jalen Carter.
Buddy.
Who?
Jalen Carter.
All right, let's back it up. Justin, start it over. All right, so Vic Fangio, let's get it from the beginning. Vic Fangio is asked a question about Eagles second-year player Jalen Carter.
Does Jalen Carter remind you of anybody?
Who?
Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter. Not yet.
So
that was pretty funny.
So maybe it's like I don't want to praise him. Like if I say Jerome Brown, then it's like I put that on his plate. You know, that ex, or Fletcher Cox or Aaron Donald, or maybe it's just stylistically it's not Warren Sapp. John, does
that was
he
an unsatisfying answer
well,
for me?
But I
jeez.
But you know what I mean? Some coaches
Jalen
don't
Carter. It's almost like he's like okay,
who?
Let me try to think about this for a second. Jalen.
But sometimes it's how do I want to get out of answering the question? John, let me ask you this. Who does he stylistically remind you of?
Jeez.
Is it more Aaron Donald, Warren Sapp,
Shaq.
Fletcher Cox? Shaq.
Seriously.
Oh, Shaq like, Leonard or Shaq O'Neal?
No, Shaq. Like, when Shaq at LSU was dominating, yeah. Like sheer physicality and just like unstoppability, that's the best version of Jalen Carter. When I watched him last year just abusing NFL veterans, NFL Pro Bowlers, this kid can be
good.
Shaq.
Listen, that's a very satisfying answer. But you get how sometimes coaches don't want to go.
Sure.
Think about,
he doesn't want to say
think
this guy's going to be the next, yeah.
Right? You know, if
Shaq-esque player, a guy who could potentially help you win a world title type
look,
thing.
I thought Jalen Carter's start to his rookie year. Now, it tailed off at the end, but I thought the start of his rookie year was the most impressive start for defensive linemen that I've seen in my lifetime, the Eagle has had since Reggie White. I thought he was better last year than Jerome. Now, I was young. I want to be fair and honest here. I was young rookie Jerome. And obviously, I was an adult for rookie Fletcher. But I will tell you, my recollection is Jalen Carter's first half last year was more dominant than Jerome's start and Fletcher's start. And they were both really good, really quick.
But he just wasn't able to maintain it.
Yeah.
This year, you'd expect, look, their whole focus this offseason has been conditioning. Let's get you guys ready to play longer, more snaps this season. They know that the D-line, they're going to have to lean into those guys a little bit more. I can't wait for them to lean into Jalen Carter.
He's really important. Look, you guys know my thing. I used to say this about Fletcher, and it's going to be applied to Jalen Carter moving forward. I used to say Fletcher Cox's job wasn't to play defensive line or defensive tackle. Fletcher Cox's job was to dominate. That was his job. He was paid to dominate. He was the best defensive player on the team for a good 6 to 8 years. Like, that was his job. Be an ass kicker. To me, John, Jalen Carter is in that realm. Like, they need him.
Oh.
They need him because you can make the case there's really only two truly great players on this team defensively. And that's if Darius Slay still has it at the highest level. The two guys you can expect to dominate or have a shot to dominate, are Darius Slay and Jalen Carter. Otherwise, you're dealing with guys that you hope can be really good contributors. But no one else is like, this guy's a stud. So, you know, they need him.
I do feel like some of these young cornerbacks are studs,
but
too early
you know what
to put the stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are ironclad.
Totally. I mean, that's rarefied air in the NFL.
What, though? Quinyon Mitchell, I'm not going to jump the gun and say he's there. I think it's exciting, really exciting, that he has the physical tools that he has. I didn't realize he would look as big and look as explosive as he does. This guy, it's the real deal. And I know he's small school, but you know, it's a worry from personal experience watching the young guys come in from small schools. It really is hit and miss.
Well, it seems like he's legit. Yeah.
In terms of the measurables and the way he looks so far.
You know what's crazy, John? We still don't even know if he's going to start.
Right. I think he probably will find his way out there.
Which spot?
As the nickel at this point?
It's instead of Avanti. So you think young Quinyon is better than old Avanti?
I do.
But
I'm not sure. I think that his upside, that man, just the way that he plays the route, jumped the route in a small opportunity in the preseason.
Well,
I'm really putting a lot of weight on that, but I love the gamesmanship.
Here,
like, he got into a game and he made a play. He took a chance, and it wasn't so much of a chance because he has the makeup speed, he has the agility, he has the confidence that it's it's not a risk.
Of course, Avante made a play that you can make the case was the best play in the preseason
That's
so far.
Too.
You know, and here's where it gets really interesting. Let's say the coaching staff considers Avante Maddox week one a better player, but only a slightly better player than Quinyon Mitchell. They could go to Quinyon just for developmental purposes. Like, he's close to being as good as Avante. Hey, let's get him out there 4, 5, 6 games, and by game 6 or 7, he's definitely a better player. I mean, there is a theory that a young player just needs reps and go put
and
him out there.
There's another theory, that the old school theory, that Vic Fangio, I guarantee, has heard and probably abides by, that for every rookie you start, you lose a game.
No, it does happen. That's right. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's also remind you, today's Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which team has a better chance to win a title in the next 6 months? Is it the Phillies or the Eagles? Second poll question, what struck you the most from the weekend with the Phillies? Four choices here. Is it A, the wins? Obviously, they won 2 of 3 over the weekend. 4 of 5 going back to midweek last week. Is it B, alumni weekend? C, Taiwan still struggling? Or D, Topper? And this is certainly my answer, unfortunately, but it's what I feel. Topper not using Bryce or JT in the ninth inning yesterday as a pinch hitter. Let's talk to Patrick in Tabernacle. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing all right, Patrick.
Listen to Phil's. Taiwan, it was my third time seeing him pitch this year. And
meaning at the game?
And it's just like you're watching it, and it's first of all, the bank is just so cool, and but when you're watching, at least for me, when you're watching a game, because I'm a big radio guy, and you don't hear everything going in, but you know my own broadcast, I can see, you can see what's going to happen, and it's super frustrating. And Rhea, to your point, man, it was just like, are you kidding me? I got Taiwan Walker, I got no JT, I got no Bryce, like.
If I'm a Sunday ticket holder, I'm like, come on, stop doing this to me on Sundays.
Sunday ticket package.
I had one for years.
And it's just like, come on, man. Like, you got to put your best effort.
So, Patrick, I'm okay with them not starting. I really am. I mean, I don't expect Bryce Harper yesterday with 39 games to go to have to start in all 39. I really don't. But you know, you're facing a weak team, and you know, you hope you can find a way to get by anyway. I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with Rob Thompson not going to him in the ninth inning. I think it's utterly unacceptable.
The flip side to any counterpoint would be like, when I see a major league player in 2024 lay down a bunt like I did the other game, like that guy, like I'm a Cal fan just because of that. You know, and that doesn't mean you let them, you know, I don't know. The flip side.
Look, Patrick, someday Cal Stevenson can tell his grandkids.
What's that?
Someday Cal Stevenson can tell his grandkids, my manager trusted me in a Major League Baseball game to bat in the ninth inning with Bryce Harper sitting on the bench. I mean, I would tell that to my grandkids.
Would you tell them the outcome?
I would.
That you hit into a rally-killing double play?
I would leave that part out.
Yeah,
I would choose not to lie. I would just say, let's change the subject. By the way, how about the weather? It's a great, great day out here. We got kids in the year 2070. Great day. Now, Patrick, it's frustrating, man. It really is.
Last thing, would Bryce Harper, the G, like, what would Bryce Harper do as a coach / GM / player? You know what I mean? Like, what would Harper do in that spot?
Listen, and that's fascinating, and I think the most fascinating of all, what did John Middleton think of it?
Ooh, even better.
You know?
I didn't see him in the crowd. I couldn't ask him last time.
Patrick, was Bryce ready to play? Did Bryce study that pitcher? I don't know the answer to that. That is something that has come up during this show.
Pitcher's not a Cy Young candidate.
I got it.
He also has good numbers against Finnegan historically, I know.
So he knows him.
Absolutely. He's faced him plenty.
Period, end of story. He knows the pitcher. Patrick, give me a mystifying decision. You can win the Incubus tickets.
Yeah. One of my favorite, Merle Reese. Congratulations, Merle, man. We love you in the Hall of Fame, which is crazy. But how about 4th-and-1? Cowboys, who was that? Barry Switzer?
Yeah, it was Barry Switzer. That's a very interesting answer. Now, again, and I'm being a stickler on some of these. the theory Barry Switzer had going was, you know, my offensive line is the greatest offensive line of all time, and I got one of the five best running backs of all time. Let's go get a yard. Now, the problem for him was the ball was on the 29-yard line. And the problem, John, we've brought this up. We had Barry Switzer on the show like 6-7 years ago, and I brought it up to him. And you remember his response?
No.
Yeah, but we, the Cowboys, won the Super Bowl that year. So
that's a good comeback.
Pipe down with your little fourth and one talk.
It was a great moment, though.
It was unbelievable.
It was a great moment.
Well, the Eagles are the only team in the history of football that has a fourth and one moment and a fourth and 26 moment.
Oh, wow.
I mean, about as polar opposite as you can get. One on offense, one on defense, and two of the great moments in the history of the franchise. One was, matter of fact, the Eagles have two fourth and ones now that I think about it. Because I was thinking about fourth and one on defense. You also had fourth and goal with the Philly special. And that's called more fourth and goal than fourth and one, but it's the same thing now that you think about it. All right, John, I want to get to a John Middleton story. So, you know, this is a very interesting story from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Scott Lauber put together. And he's got a series of quotes from Middleton. Now, I don't know exactly when he got these quotes. Was it?
I'm assuming it was pregame, because if it was postgame, some of those quotes in there take on different meaning.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. And Middleton was obviously more, I don't want to say accessible, but I mean, obviously more visible this weekend with all the alumni. I mean, he was right there yesterday when the alums are walking on the field. He's the guy patting them on the back, basically, as they're walking on the field. So, you know, look, it's a big weekend for John Middleton. He gets to roll out, hey, here's Philly's history. And that's great. I mean, he and they did a great job, as they always do with that stuff. Couple of interesting quotes, John, in the Scott Lauber piece. He caught up with Middleton. And here are some of the quotes. And this is, let's play a game, like, what do you make of this? So, he's talking about the slide that had happened. And again, maybe this was quotes from Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. But the piece came out today. Piece came out today, right, Ray? This is the first time you saw it today?
Yeah, it came out this morning at 5 a.m.
All right. Yeah. So here is one series of quotes from Middleton about the slide. He says, I can't recall a Phillies team that was as good as our team was through July 11th, struggling the way this team struggled beginning July 12th. The first week was bad, but that happens. The second week was worse, but that happens. By the time it got to the third and fourth week, it was like, okay, stop. So you got an owner that was getting ticked, and I appreciate that. Mm. The story also indicates that he does listen to sports talk radio. So WIP listener, and, you know, if Middleton's listening right now, he's hearing a day when a lot of people are taking his manager to task. Take it for what it is. Middleton was asked for his take on the 8-18, 26 game, you know, span of time. He referred to it, quote, as a significant issue. He also said, and this is a quote, I don't think you can just sit there and say, oh, well, this has happened and therefore we'll turn it around. I don't think you can be that passive. I think you have to be pushing and pushing people to rethink what they've been doing. That's coaches and that's players. Everybody has to step back and say, what are we doing wrong? Why is a team that was winning at a 700 clip for 3.5 months now playing at a 325 clip for the last 5 weeks? Now, here's another interesting thing, because he was talking at one point about his role as owner. And, you know, one of the things I've said through the years, clearly, I grew up, you know, as a Sixers fan, right in the heart of the Harold Katz nonsense. For those too young to know, Harold Katz was, I mean, while the Sixers won a title in 83, he was generally a disastrous owner. And I'm reading this book on Barkley right now. Man, does it detail some of the mistakes. Over-involvement of Harold Katz.
Yeah, he worked out Brad Daugherty in his driveway and wouldn't draft him.
Right. Like, that ain't your decision. I mean, it shouldn't be. I mean, if you want it to be, it can be, but it shouldn't be. So here's something John Middleton said, essentially talking about his role as owner. He said, you have to understand your limitations, your strengths and your weaknesses. Let other people who can do those jobs better than you can do the job. I mean, that's rarefied air in the NFL.
You know what, though? Quinyon Mitchell, I'm not going to jump the gun and say he's there. I think it's exciting, really exciting, that he has the physical tools that he has. I didn't realize he would look as big and look as explosive as he does. This guy, it's the real deal. And I know he's small school, but you know, it's a worry from personal experience watching the young guys come in from small schools. It really is hit and miss.
Well, it seems like he's legit. Yeah.
In terms of the measurables and the way he looks so far.
You know what's crazy, John? We still don't even know if he's going to start.
Right. I think he probably will find his way out there.
Which spot?
As the nickel at this point?
It's instead of Avanti. So you think young Quinyon is better than old Avanti?
I do. But I'm not sure. I think that his upside, that man, just the way that he plays the route, jumped the route in a small opportunity in the preseason.
Well,
I'm really putting a lot of weight on that, but I love the gamesmanship. He got into a game and he made a play. He took a chance, and it wasn't so much of a chance because he has the makeup speed, he has the agility, he has the confidence that it's not a risk.
Of course, Avanti made a play that you can make the case was the best play in the preseason
That's true too.
You know, and here's where it gets really interesting. Let's say the coaching staff considers Avanti Maddox week one a better player, but only a slightly better player than Quinyon Mitchell. They could go to Quinyon just for developmental purposes. Like, he's close to being as good as Avanti. Hey, let's get him out there 4, 5, 6 games, and by game 6 or 7, he's definitely a better player. I mean, there is a theory that a young player just needs reps and go put him out there.
There's another theory, that the old school theory, that Vic Fangio, I guarantee, has heard and probably abides by, that for every rookie you start, you lose a game.
No, it does happen. That's right. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's also remind you, today's Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which team has a better chance to win a title in the next 6 months? Is it the Phillies or the Eagles? Second poll question, what struck you the most from the weekend with the Phillies? Four choices here. Is it A, the wins? Obviously, they won 2 of 3 over the weekend. 4 of 5 going back to midweek last week. Is it B, alumni weekend? C, Taiwan still struggling? Or D, Topper? And this is certainly my answer, unfortunately, but it's what I feel. Topper not using Bryce or JT in the ninth inning yesterday as a pinch hitter. Let's talk to Patrick in Tabernacle. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing all right, Patrick.
Listen to Phil's. Taiwan, it was my third time seeing him pitch this year. And
meaning at the game?
And it's just like you're watching it, and it's first of all, the bank is just so cool, and but when you're watching, at least for me, when you're watching a game, because I'm a big radio guy, and you don't hear everything going in, but you know my own broadcast, I can see, you can see what's going to happen, and it's super frustrating. And Rhea, to your point, man, it was just like, are you kidding me? I got Taiwan Walker, I got no JT, I got no Bryce, like.
If I'm a Sunday ticket holder, I'm like, come on, stop doing this to me on Sundays.
A Sunday ticket package.
I had one for years.
And it's just like, come on, man. Like, you got to put your best effort.
So, Patrick, I'm okay with them not starting. I really am. I mean, I don't expect Bryce Harper yesterday with 39 games to go to have to start in all 39. I really don't. But you know, you're facing a weak team, and you know, you hope you can find a way to get by anyway. I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with Rob Thompson not going to him in the ninth inning. I think it's utterly unacceptable.
The flip side to any counterpoint would be like, look, listen. When I see a major league player in 2024 lay down a bunt like I did the other game, like that guy, like I'm a Cal fan just because of that. You know, and that doesn't mean you let them, you know. I don't know. The flip side.
Look, Patrick, someday Cal Stevenson can tell his grandkids.
What's that?
Someday Cal Stevenson can tell his grandkids, my manager trusted me in a Major League Baseball game to bat in the ninth inning with Bryce Harper sitting on the bench. I mean, I would tell that to my grandkids.
Would you tell them the outcome?
I would.
That you hit into a rally-killing double play?
I would leave that part out.
Yeah,
I would choose not to lie. I would just say, let's change the subject. By the way, how about the weather? It's a great day out here. We got kids in the year 2070. Great day. Now, Patrick, it's frustrating, man. It really is.
Last thing, would Bryce Harper, the GM, like, what would Bryce Harper do as a coach slash GM slash player? You know what I mean? Like, what would Harper do in that spot?
Listen, and that's fascinating, and I think the most fascinating of all, what did John Middleton think of it?
Ooh, even better.
You know?
I didn't see him in the crowd. I couldn't ask him last
time. Patrick,
was Bryce ready to play? Did Bryce study that pitcher? I don't know the answer to that. That is something that has come up during this show.
Pitcher's not a Cy Young candidate.
I got it.
He also has good numbers against Finnegan historically, I know.
So he knows him.
Absolutely. He's faced him plenty.
Period, end of story. He knows the pitcher. Patrick, give me a mystifying decision. You can win the Incubus tickets.
Yeah. One of my favorite, Merle Reese. Congratulations, Merle, man. We love you in the Hall of Fame, which is crazy. But how about 4th-and-1? Cowboys, who was that? Barry Switzer?
Yeah, it was Barry Switzer. That's a very interesting answer. Now, again, and I'm being a – man, am I being a stickler on some of these – the theory Barry Switzer had going was, you know, my offensive line is the greatest offensive line of all time, and I got one of the 5 best running backs of all time. Let's go get a yard. Now, the problem for him was the ball was on the 29-yard line. And the problem, John, we've brought this up. We had Barry Switzer on the show like 6-7 years ago, and I brought it up to him. And you remember his response?
No.
Yeah, but the Cowboys won the Super Bowl that year. So
that's a good comeback.
Pipe down with your little 4th-and-1 talk.
It was a great moment, though.
It was unbelievable.
It was a great moment.
Well, the Eagles are the only team in the history of football that has a 4th-and-1 moment and a 4th-and-26 moment.
Oh, wow.
I mean, about as polar opposite as you can get. One on offense, one on defense, and 2 of the great moments in the history of the franchise. One was, matter of fact, the Eagles have 2 4th-and-1s now that I think about it. Because I was thinking about 4th-and-1 on defense. You also had 4th-and-goal with the Philly special. And that's called more 4th-and-goal than 4th-and-1, but it's the same thing now that you think about it. All right, John, I want to get to a John Middleton story. So, you know, this is a very interesting story from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Scott Lauber put together. And he's got a series of quotes from Middleton. Now, I don't know exactly when he got these quotes. Was it?
I'm assuming it was pregame, because if it was postgame, some of those quotes in there take on different meaning.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. And Middleton was obviously more, I don't want to say accessible, but I mean, obviously more visible this weekend with all the alumni. I mean, he was right there yesterday when the alums are walking on the field. He's the guy patting them on the back, basically, as they're walking on the field. So, you know, look, it's a big weekend for John Middleton. He gets to roll out, hey, here's Philly's history. And that's great. I mean, he and they did a great job, as they always do with that stuff. Couple of interesting quotes, John, in the Scott Lauber piece. He caught up with Middleton. And here are some of the quotes. And this is, let's play a game, like, what do you make of this? So, he's talking about the slide that had happened. And again, maybe this was quotes from Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. But the piece came out today. Piece came out today, right, Ray? This is the first time you saw it today?
Yeah, it came out this morning at 5 a.m.
All right. Yeah. So here is one series of quotes from Middleton about the slide. He says, I can't recall a Phillies team that was as good as our team was through July 11th, struggling the way this team struggled beginning July 12th. The first week was bad, but that happens. The second week was worse, but that happens. By the time it got to the 3rd and 4th week, it was like, okay, stop. So you got an owner that was getting ticked, and I appreciate that. Mm. The story also indicates that he does listen to sports talk radio. So WIP listener, and, you know, if Middleton's listening right now, he's hearing a day when a lot of people are taking his manager to task. Take it for what it is. Middleton was asked for his take on the 8-18, 26 game, you know, span of time. He referred to it, quote, as a significant issue. He also said, and this is a quote, I don't think you can just sit there and say, oh, well, this has happened and therefore we'll turn it around. I don't think you can be that passive. I think you have to be pushing and pushing people to rethink what they've been doing. That's coaches and that's players. Everybody has to step back and say, what are we doing wrong? Why is a team that was winning at a 700 clip for 3.5 months now playing at a 325 clip for the last 5 weeks? Now, here's another interesting thing, because he was talking at one point about his role as owner. And, you know, one of the things I've said through the years, clearly, I grew up, you know, as a Sixers fan, right in the heart of the Harold Katz nonsense. For those too young to know, Harold Katz was I mean, while the Sixers won a title in 83, he was generally a disastrous owner. And I'm reading this book on Barkley right now. Man, does it detail some of the mistakes. Over-involvement of Harold Katz.
Yeah, he worked out Brad Daugherty in his driveway and wouldn't draft him.
Right, like, that ain't your decision. I mean, it shouldn't be. I mean, if you want it to be, it can be, but it shouldn't be. So here's something John Middleton said, essentially talking about his role as owner. He said, you have to understand your limitations, your strengths and your weaknesses. Let other people who can do those jobs better than you can do the job. It's also a reason why I'm very careful about not being around the players and the coaches too much. So it's very interesting, and I appreciate that. But I also know, John, you know, I want him to question Dombrowski and Rob Thompson on why did Bryce Harper not get that at bat. Not necessarily overrule them,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at least question. Because I think Lurie is a questioner, and I think it's one of Lurie's strengths.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's a real strength of Jeffrey Lurie. Let me question my top lieutenants on what mm-hmm. they're doing so that I know that they have set the right course for our franchise.
Yeah, sure. Explain this decision, Rob. Maybe when revisiting it, we will have a different opinion of whether it was the right thing to do or not.
One more thing here, and then again, 215-592-9494 for everyone to react to everything we're discussing here today. So the story ends this way, John. I mean, the second to last paragraph has this doozy in it. And again, this is from Scott Lauber in the Inquirer. Middleton says, now think about this in light of yesterday. Although, again, remember, these quotes probably came before yesterday's game, if I had to guess. Middleton said this, you have to strike while the iron's hot, and it's hot right now. The players and the coaching staff have to understand that. They have to go after it hard. And then you have a
that
game.
That was not going after it hard.
When you get Cal Stevenson and Garrett Stubbs instead of Bryce Harper and JT in the
again,
ninth inning.
This team demonstrated that they were willing to sacrifice, do whatever it took to be great. It felt like we were back on that winning track. And then this was an omission. Like this didn't fall under that category.
Fascinating. Your reaction to it all. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.